Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Would all of the people who served in the armed forces, the veterans, would you stand today? All of you that have served, look around the room right now. Come on, let's give them a hand and say thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am unapologetically without fear, proud to be patriotic. I know things ebb and flow. I know there are changes, and I'm very aware. But I think bigger than all of the politics, we ought to be thankful to God that He put us in this great nation. It doesn't take many trips out of this nation to know what you have in this nation. Yesterday morning, Melissa, do I see you back there? Did I see Melissa? I thought I saw her come in. Yesterday morning, our congressman and I had a meeting with the Republican Party, and they asked me to pray. And I want to pray that prayer with you today. It's the first prayer that I've ever recorded or written down, so I would read it. Would you just agree with me? Our God and Father, we're grateful today for your grace and mercy. Thank you for continuing to love and care for us and our nation, even when we have strayed from the path of righteousness. Because of your care and the sacrifice of countless men and women, we remain one nation under God. It is not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of your mercy, you have preserved us. Today we acknowledge and honor you with this prayer. Almighty God, bless the United States of America. Bless our President, Donald J. Trump. Bless our elected leaders and those who volunteer and serve us. Give them the strength to overcome their personal agendas and their egos and to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit. We pray for forgiveness. Forgive us for belittling, abusing, and hurting one another. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray for healing. Today we gather to humble ourselves and to pray. We seek your face and turn from our ways. Hear us, O Lord, and heal our land. Heal the wounds and divisions among us. We pray for restoration. Restore our compassion and a sense of value and respect for every human life. Restore the sense of brotherhood and sisterhood. Restore the reality of caring for one another that would prevail over the ideas that separate us. Restore our love and appreciation for this great country of ours. Now, Almighty God, with hearts full of faith and hope, we give thanks and praise to you alone. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You did not bring us this far just to leave us. Today, we declare that we are safe. We are secure. We are in your hands. By the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand, please? Would you join me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. 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 Clap your hands for God's gift, this great nation. Amen. Amen. And again, to all of you who served, we honor you today. Family members, our families that were lost in battle, we're thankful for this nation And we recognize that the hand of God and the sacrifice of our families that bring us to where we are today. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Several weeks ago, my wife had an accident. She fell, and we were at her mother's house helping June Snyder, who had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And in the middle of the night, Terry fell and broke her neck. She sits here on the front row, and you've heard this story, several of you, but if you're new today, it's my wife seated over here. This beautiful blonde is my wife. That's not my daughter. That ought to be worth something later. Oh, and I spilled my water over. And in the midst of that time, I asked the Lord, what are you doing? And he said to me, I'm working on your testimony. And I realized that God takes bad things and turns them to praise. And that there are times when trouble, it seems to be against us, but really he turns trouble for us. He'll move you forward in your understanding of God through trouble. I don't want any more trouble. I don't like trouble. But I'm thankful that God uses trouble for my good because I can't avoid it. I get myself in trouble. I remember one night I was driving home. I sat at a red light on Valley Creek Road, turning onto Interlochen Parkway to go to my house, and the light was red. The arrow was red. The lights were green. Traffic could go forward, but couldn't turn left. And it was about 11:30 at night, and I sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there, and that red light, that turn light wouldn't turn green till my patience ran out. And I got myself in trouble. I turned on red. Middle of the night, mind you. About two blocks down, there sat a cop and pulled me over. I'm three blocks from home. I said, sir, those lights don't ever turn green at night. They'll be red all night long. He gave me a ticket. So I went to court. And when I went to court, I said, Judge, can I say anything about this? He said, you may. I said, I can't stand that red light. We got to do something about that red light. He said, well, I'll take note of it, sir. The ticket window's right there. You go pay. About 7 or 8 months later, sitting at that same red light in the middle of the night, waiting to go home, not a car in sight. I'm talking about in the middle of the night. I sat there and I thought, I look for him. Come on, you look for him. You know you do. You look in your rearview mirror. You look around. You look for him. I turned that corner, and there he was again. And I said, oh, my goodness. I've been sitting there. You know you've been, you watched me. You saw me. And he said, well, here's your ticket. You can tell it to the judge. I went back down to Hastings to the same courthouse. Same judge. I said, sir, we got to do something about that red light. He said, well, you don't want to do that again because you get any more points on your license, you're going to have to go to driving school, sir. Don't you smile, Snyder. Sit there, smile. Because it wasn't a year later, I was sitting at that red light all night. Frustrated, just frustrated at the stupidity of a red light that won't turn green. And lo and behold, he got me the third time. I did it again. I've been to driver's school. You know the end of the story. Yes, I went to driver's school. And I was so angry, it was worth it. And do you know what they did? They've designed all those lights in Woodbury now that they blink yellow. Amen. Is that the truth? Anybody drives over there, you say amen. They blink yellow. Somebody had to pay the price for your freedom. My point is, we actually decide to get ourselves into trouble. I remember when I was a kid, they used to talk about falling into sin. I don't think I ever fell. Huh? I walked in with my eyes open. I looking around for the cop, then I'd run that light. I knew what I was doing. You knew what you were doing. And God has chosen, please get this. God has chosen, Almighty God, the judge of all the earth, the only righteous one, the Holy One, has chosen that he would forgive you and not count your sins against you. And a part of my, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me now. A part of my deep frustration is all of my spiritual life I've been looking for the spiritual cops. They're going to catch me doing wrong. And the rules didn't make any sense to me. I come from a tradition very conservative. Do any of you come from a tradition where there were sometimes preaching about the clothes that you wore, or the way your hair was or was not cut or trimmed, or whether you wore something on your head or your makeup or jewelry or some external expression, so that it's like we had church cops. I remember when Craig and the security team decided to coordinate their gear, my grand boys said, I want to be a church cop. I want to be a church cop too, Papa. And our conscience, everybody has a conscience. It's a God thing. God gave you a conscience. It's that part of you that makes you know right from wrong. The problem with a conscience, Ron, is it can be based on fake, false law. You tell somebody something's wrong long enough and they've got a conscience toward it, so they feel guilty, but they really haven't done anything wrong. It's just that the church cops are looking. And they will find you every time, because it makes more sense to give you a ticket than to change the lights. Because they gotta preserve our identity. How many of you know that the church is so desperate to preserve its holiness that we won't let sinners in? And Jesus came to bring sinners in. So if you're a sinner, if you're really in trouble today, you've been in trouble, and that's what I was talking about. It's God who has the right. He has the authority. His authority is bigger than the preachers. Somebody help me right now. His authority is bigger than the church. His authority is higher than denominations. And if he says you're forgiven, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I am fighting for your freedom today. You've got to understand this. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you right now to open the eyes and the hearts and minds of your people. I pray, Lord God, that you give us the ability to receive this new truth. I pray, God, that you would drive out any doubt or concern or fear from our traditions. In Jesus' name, I pray that you set us free today on this Veterans Day weekend. Set this church free. In Jesus' name, I declare to you, and I need your agreement if you believe, that he is the highest authority. Is he or is he not? He's the rule maker. He's the boss. He's the judge. And he has the right. He has the right to forgive you. He has the right to call you righteous. He has the right to call you his own. He has the right. He has the authority. Everybody say authority. Authority. I'm building a case this morning. He has the authority to save whomsoever he will. To be good to who he wants to be good to. And I'm telling you, I know the grief that comes over a church cop. I was one. When he does something good to somebody that I don't think deserves it. And I get mad at God for being good to bad people. Everybody that disagrees with me is wrong. I want everybody that... Just tell me, Bob, this will help Bob Erickson, because we've talked about this a lot. The church just loves hell. We just love to put people in there that we think deserve to go. And the crowd going to heaven gets smaller and smaller. Because we know who deserves to go to heaven. Oh, you're getting quiet. And the truth of the matter is, you don't have that authority. You don't have the authority. You're not in charge here. He told you, love everybody. You love one another. I'll take care of the rest of the business in the house. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And it's amazing that he still loves you. He decided he would do that. He's got the authority to love you in spite of what anybody says about you. If you've been cursed, if you've been put down, if you've been let down, I'm telling you right now, God Almighty will set you free and break the chains of those thoughts off of your mind so that you can say, he loves me. He forgave me. Somebody say, he forgave me. He forgave me. You have the right to say that. You've been given the authority, the word of the Lord. It's your authority. It's your right to say, he forgave me. Now, let's look at the book of Exodus chapter 25 for just a moment. Exodus chapter 25, verse 16. Exodus 25, verse 16. God is explaining to Moses how to build the Ark of the Covenant, its dimensions, what it's made out of. And he says in verse 16, as he's describing the Ark of the Covenant, then put in the Ark the testimony which I will give you. So God intended to put something inside that Ark. And verse 22 reads, there above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. He began to call the Ark, what we call the Ark of the Covenant, what's commonly called the Ark of the Covenant, he called it the Ark of the Testimony. Everybody say the Ark of the Testimony. It's the piece of furniture in the Old Testament where God met with man. You are the Ark of the Testimony. He said, I'm going to give you something to put in there. I'm going to give you the testimony to put in the ark. And that's going to identify the ark because of the testimony. He's going to put something in your life, in you, that's unique from God. And he's going to protect it. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 9. This is looking back now at that plan. And the writer of Hebrews is describing the worship at the tabernacle. He said, now in the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first room, the lampstand, the table, consecrated bread, the holy place behind the curtain, room the most holy place, the golden altar of incense, the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained, everybody say contained, this is what God plans to put into you. Golden jar of manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. When God spoke to Moses back in the book of Exodus, he said, build this box, and then I'm going to give you a testimony to put in it. That testimony was the tablets that God wrote the Ten Commandments on. His word written in your heart. And also Aaron's staff that budded and a pot of manna. Three things. The word of God, Aaron's staff, and manna. God is going to put in your life consistently, add to your life, his word. Aaron's staff represents authority. I'll show you that in just a moment. And manna, which is provision. Give us this day our. God is going to build your testimony by consistently adding to your life. What I just talked about was the fact that we get in trouble and God gets us out, God forgives us. There are so many people who go to church under the weight of unforgiven sins. They don't believe they're forgiven. They are forgiven. He has already shed his blood and washed you and freed you, and he doesn't count your sins against you. But the church conscience, the cops have filled us with fear as if we are not yet what God said we are. And I declare to you today, by his authority, that we are children of God. Now we are children of God. All right, I want you to look at Numbers chapter 17. I won't be able to finish all of this today. I'll do this expeditiously. Thank you. Numbers chapter 17. I want to do this Bible study with you. This is so important to me. All right, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 17. We're going to start in the first verse, but before we read, would you look up here just a moment? I'm going to give you a setting. In the 16th chapter of Numbers, we have two major stories in the history of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. You've read the Exodus. You know about Moses and the Exodus. They came through the Red Sea. They're wandering in the wilderness. And there were a group of people who rebelled against Moses because they did not see immediately the promise that Moses had given them. We're going to take you to a promised land. You're going to go to a place flowing with milk and honey. You're going to be blessed by God. But when they got into the wilderness and there wasn't enough water to drink, and it seemed to them that Moses had lied to them, they rebelled against Moses. This is in the 16th chapter. And they said, you've taken up too much on yourself. All of us should be leaders. We all can do this. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, three men, they gathered a rebellion against Moses, and God, in a horrible, unbelievable event, opened the earth up and swallowed all those rebellious people, and it just scared the living daylights of everybody else, just like it would me and you. Well, the next day, the people got upset because they said, Moses, you killed those people. You got to think about the earth opening up and swallowing everybody. And then blaming it on Moses. It's like blame everything on Obama. Blame everything on Trump. Cut it out. Cut it out. They can do very little. If God doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. Be careful what you whine about and complain about. I'll just let that sit just a minute. So, we come to the 17th chapter. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. Write the name. This is so big. Somebody say, write the name. Say it again. Would you write the name? Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name. So there are 12 different tribes. Levi is one of the tribes, and Aaron is the leader of the Levites. So he said, on the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name. For there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Does that make sense? 12 staffs. Aaron, put your name on the one from Levi. Everybody write your name on the staff and bring it. Place them in the tent of meeting, in front of the testimony. Now we're back at this Exodus 25. We're going to take these staffs and put them in front of the Ark of the Testimony where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites. Let's all make a grumbling sound. Grizzle, frizzle, grizzle, grumble. I'm going to get rid of the grumbling. How many of you ever tried to feed your children and they didn't want to eat what you served? And just grumble. How many ever said, well, you can go to the neighbors if you'd like? Or how about this? When you pay the bills or when you buy the groceries, we'll fix what you want. Come on, is there anybody still disciplining your kids and say, we're going to eat this? My wife has on the side of our refrigerator a picture of a woman. It looks like a 1960s gal. And she's smiling and she says, you're going to eat it and you're going to like it. It's there, isn't it? It's true. It's for my kids and grandkids to see. Okay, so he says, they're grumbling. I'm done with their grumbling. So Moses spoke to the Israelites and the leaders and gave them 12 staffs, one for the leader of each of their ancestral tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. The next day, this is a great story. The next day, Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, now this is an old stick, a piece of wood that got Aaron's name on it, represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but it had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Cha-ching! Then Moses brought out the staffs of the Lord's presence to the Israelites, and they looked at them, and each man took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me, and they won't die. So, here's the story. God says, build this box, make it out of gold. And then when I give you my word, put it in there. That's personal. That's to each of you. You are the ark of the testimony. When God speaks to you, get it in your heart. Take it in. Believe it. Come on, Ron, it's true, isn't it? He changes you. He'll put something in your heart that seems so contrary, but then you start confessing the word of God and you realize, he put that in my heart. It's the stuff that's in your heart that keeps you. Right? And then he said, now I want you to take Aaron's staff. This is how I'm going to show you who's in authority here. The one that lives. The one that was dead and now alive. What's his name? His name is Jesus. I'm going to show you who has authority. Who's in charge. So we think we use the word name, N-A-M-E, or like a proper noun, Aaron. But it wasn't about that name. It was about the authority given to that person. So go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Everybody say attitude. Lord, would you adjust our attitudes right now? Help us. Change our attitudes. Being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient. Everybody say humble and obedient. God wants us to be humble and obedient. That's a good attitude. Even to death on the cross. And then it says, therefore, because of that attitude, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name, the authority, not just the word J-E-S-U-S, but the authority, gave him the name that is above every other authority. Aaron's staff budded. We know who's in charge. We know who has the authority to go into the presence of God. Jesus is the name. He is the authority. He's the one who's been given a name above every name, that at the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to read one more verse to you and try to finish. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And then I'm going to, what time is it? I got 3 minutes. Listen to me. If you will receive what I'm telling you today, some of you may need to hear the podcast again and consider what I'm saying to you. I am preaching to you today that God Almighty has given you authority. He's placing in your life, in your ark, in you, the name, the authority above every name. That when the Spirit of the Lord moves on you and deals with you to pray, and you pray according to His authority, listen, when you pray in the name of Jesus, He always heals. He always delivers. It happens because you are praying in the name. The great confusion, I'm trying to tear something down, it takes more than today, and I'll do this more later. The great confusion, and tell me if this hasn't affected your life, is people think that if they say Jesus, if they say Jesus, their prayers should be answered. He doesn't answer your prayer because you repeat His name. He answers when you pray in His authority. You don't get authority on your own. It comes from God. Amen. Help me now. Amen. I have prayed for people and couldn't figure out. I said Jesus, and I've said Jesus, 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 Jesus. Nothing. But I have also felt His presence, felt His directive, and quietly laid it on my hands on somebody, and it isn't because I said Jesus. It's because I went in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus. Is that too much? Can you handle that? You get it? And that's why He said put His name on that staff, and I'm going to show you who's go in that name. That's the name. That's the authority. That's the name means authority. How many of you realize that English people say Jesus? How many of you know Mexicans say Jesus? How many of you know that, listen, Jesus is the Greek rendition of the Hebrew Joshua? Well, we know Joshua. We know there's an Old Testament Joshua. What? So we changed the name in English to Jesus. And people think that when you say the name, because you say the name, God has to do what you say because you said His name. No, you do what God says and come under His authority, and He answers your prayers. How many of you have ever prayed and said His name and it didn't happen? And the promise is that when you pray in the name of Jesus, it'll happen. And you can't figure out, well, why I said His name. It's not talking about repeating a pronoun. It's talking about you coming under authority. Walking in His authority. Do you want to know why Jesus never failed? He said, I do what my Father shows me. I do what He tells me to do. He said, I can do nothing by myself. I know this is doctrine, and I know it's deep. I'm doing it on purpose. On this morning, on this Veterans Day weekend, I am telling you that our nation needs to come back under the authority of God. And it doesn't mean everybody in the nation has to agree where two or three agree in my name. Just a few people. Just a person with the authority. Oh, my God. Okay, Revelation chapter 19, verse 12. The word name does not mean pronoun. Mickey, Michael, Terry, Joe, John. It means authority. Revelation chapter 19, verse 12. His eyes are like blazing fire. On His head are many crowns. He has a name, authority, that nobody knows but He Himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His authority is the Word of God. Does this make any sense to anybody? He is the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. His authority is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. Has anybody ever been confused about this? Think, Jesus, Jesus. You should say Jesus. No, it's the authority. It's the authority. His name is King of Kings. King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. When we say Jesus, we're calling on his authority. We're not talking about a man that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're calling on the name of the healer who's got the authority to heal. He can make blind eyes see. He can take cancer out of your body. He can heal heart disease. He can remove diabetes. Because of a J-E-S? No, because his name is higher than any other name. There's not a name that you can name that's higher than his name. There's not an authority. Well, the doctor said, doesn't matter what the doctor said. I've got an authority higher than the doctor. I know they call it diabetes, but I know he has authority. His name is above that name. I know what they say about the world. I know the condition of our nation. I'm not stupid. I see the racial problems, but I know an authority that's higher than that authority. Call it what you want. Say it, call it, name it. Ah, there's a higher name. There's one, there's the high, he's at the highest place. And I'm just telling you today, he's come to give you victory. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, okay, I'll finish with this. I'll try to get back to you to more of this next week when we talk about Aaron's staff that budded. When I go to the airport, I drive by one of the most solemn scenes in the Twin Cities, and that's the veterans' huge graveyard, all the white crosses all placed so marvelously in line. I was just there yesterday. Talking about our Congressman Jason Lewis and I were together yesterday morning talking about Veterans Day. There was a lineup in Stillwater and different places, a lot of celebrations. Some of the people that are standing here today have been wounded. Some of you've, Ray Paradowski, my brother, bears in his body the sacrifice of the Vietnam conflict. I just want to tell you, I honor our nation. I honor our leaders. I have a sense of deep respect. There's only one thing higher than that to me, and that is my veteran. The veteran of the war. The one who died, defeating all of my enemies, overcoming all of my diseases, overcoming all of my sins. He is the one with the authority to say you're free. You're forgiven. Don't let anybody bind you. Don't let anybody put you down. He died to set you free. He has a name. He has the authority that's above every name. And we receive that today. Would you worship with me as we leave? Lord, I thank you. I lift up my hands in honor of your name. I honor your authority, Jesus. I praise you, Almighty God. I give you glory and honor and thanks. You have placed you have placed your name on my life. You placed your name on my forehead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We go in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. We walk in the name of Jesus. We live by the authority of the Son of God. Hallelujah to God. We bless you, Lord. I pray this continued revelation upon your people. Bless them now. May your face shine upon them and give them peace. Go with them to their homes and bless the people in their homes today and their families and friends in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.